WCCF News Radio 1580.
Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, please call us at 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now, here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Well, as you may well know, the last two Fridays we had encore performances. But today we are live and we have two wonderful guests, and I'm very, very proud to present them. We have Dr. Katzen, who's been on before, and we have Christy Smith, who is from the Kiwanis Shoes for Kids. Welcome.
Good morning, Dr. Tiana.
Good morning, Dr. Katzen.
Good morning.
And Zane. So we're going to start off. We have a wonderful show planned for you. We've got lots of great guests we're going to have too in the future we're going to talk about. But, you know, we always try to do the what body part am I? So I'm going to start with that, and then we'll go to Christy, who has such great information, and we really need to listen to her because we really need to help. So don't forget to call if you have a question, 206-1580. So what body part am I? I am in your cheek, the upper cheek, not the lower cheek. When you eat, I secrete and start digesting your food. During a childhood disease, which I'm not going to name, I can swell up. I can also get a stone, which makes me swell up and hurt. So, if you want to call in with what body part am I at 206-1580, call us. And now we're going to go with our guest, Christy Smith. Christy, tell us about your program.
Thank you, Dr. Triana. The Kiwanis Shoes for Kids project started 10 years ago here in Charlotte County, and its focus is just really one item, and that one item is a brand new pair of tennis shoes for a child in the Charlotte County Public School System that doesn't presently have them to begin the school year.
Didn't you say it was a very high percentage of people, of children that do not have never had a new pair of tennis shoes?
We give approximately 4,000 to 5,000 pairs of shoes through the academic year. This particular year, our goal was 4,800 new pair of shoes. And of those 4,800 new pair of shoes, probably at least 40% of the population that will receive them have never had their own new pair of tennis shoes.
Isn't that amazing to think here in America, in Charlotte County, that these so many little kids are in need?
What's amazing, I believe your listeners would agree, as time has went on, we all know that we've had difficult economic times. Although the house payment doesn't change, the electric bill doesn't change, the phone bill maybe can alter a little. So a family's on a pretty fixed income and they plan X number of dollars to make it through the month. Well, then when special times occur, such as back to school, then all of a sudden we need an extra $50 for the book bag with the items that go in it. Or if they're middle school or high school, that might be $75 or $80.
Yes.
Now we need $20 to $25 for a new pair of shoes, which could probably go as high as $100, depending on the type of shoe that you get. Then let's add clothes to that. So all these are extra expenses that aren't part of the monthly budget in January and February and March. So the month of August is a big month for many families, and the shoes is just a small way to assist the families and save a little bit of the cost to help them as they try to struggle to meet the needs of the beginning of the school year.
But isn't it also, you were talking about the self-esteem of the child.
Mm-hmm. I know myself, I have too many pairs of shoes in my closet, more than I'm sure that I need. My husband probably would agree to that.
Hey, I'm one of those two. I'm not Imelda Marcos yet.
I'm not Imelda Marcos, but I know I have sometimes, and I'm guilty of buying the shoe and then finding the outfit to match. I try to be more careful as times went on, and I've done more and more with the shoe project. But for a child that has never received their own pair, in previous years they've received a brother's or sister's, or maybe a neighbor's that have outgrown them. possibly they're wearing a shoe in which their toes are curled. There's duct tape. The shoes are stapled. Or some way the shoes are fastened together so that the child can walk to and from school, through the hallways, and during gym class. So if you put all that into consideration, and a child comes into the office knowing that he needs a new pair or she needs a new pair of shoes, and you're giving them a brand new pair of sneakers, no one else has had that on their feet. The tag is still there on the shoes. And not only that,
and but it smells new.
And it smells new, which our in-law suite right now has a few pair of sneakers, and it smells a lot like rubber right now. But we know in the end that we're going to be able to give shoes to a lot of children, and many of which have never had their own pair. And that's definitely a confidence builder for a child.
Where do you get your shoes?
That's a great question, Dr. Katzen. We try to buy only from local retailers, predominantly Walmart, Target, Payless, Sears, Kmart, places like that. We also try to buy on sale. We try to take a $25 to $40 sneaker and work magic and get it for $10.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So we tried the clearance racks first. Some of the stores have rewards or bonus programs, and we can save points and then purchase in a large quantity. Some retailers have grant programs or will give us a discount right there when we're in the line.
What percentage of your shoes comes from private individuals?
We have collection sites around the county. That's a great question. From the collection sites around the county, we'll collect maybe a third of the goal, which leaves 66 2/3% needs to come from the local donors, the private community, the businesses, the organizations.
Now, you told me your goal is for this year, how many pairs of shoes?
Highest we've ever seen, Dr. Triana. It's 4,800 new pair of sneakers for the children in Charlotte County, which it seems like a large number, and it is a large number when you think of Charlotte County. However, that is less than a third of our population in the Charlotte County public school system. We're a little over 15,000 now in our Charlotte County public school system. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but somewhere between 15 and 16,000. And 59.1% of those students qualify for free and reduced lunch. So if we were technically giving it to every child that qualified for free and reduced lunch, and we used the number of 16,000, that would be 9,600 children should receive shoes. And we're talking half of that number.
Oh, my goodness.
4,800. So it's really the neediest of the needy. It's the single mother that's raising three children. It's the grandparents that are raising children. It's the two-parent families where times have turned, and their maybe 40-hour job went to 20 hours. But they still have the three children. They still have to pay the mortgage payment or the rent.
And I see we have a caller. Excuse me. Yes. Hello,
it's
caller.
Body parts, the parotid gland.
Yes. Yay. You got it. Thank you so much for calling. What's your first name?
Phyllis,
thank you so much for calling. Do you have any questions for our wonderful guest?
No, not today. Thank you.
Thank you, Phyllis, for calling. So that was great. The parotid gland. Boy, that was a quick one.
Great.
That was great. Usually people think about it and get it. The one time we did a body part, though, it took a little while for everybody to guess.
Phyllis was on the ball this morning.
Yes. Well, thank you for calling, Phyllis. We really appreciate that you're listening to the program. And this is such an important program. You know, our kids, that's our natural resource. That's our future.
It is. It is. And how nice to think in a small way, and I know it's a small way, we're helping these local families. But maybe even more importantly, we're teaching the children that it takes a community, really, to raise a family, to raise a child. And by giving them, in a small way, a donation, a gift, then maybe as they grow and are able to, not maybe financially at first, but maybe just their time to help a neighbor, to rake some leaves, to pull the trash cans back up to the garage door so doesn't have to work.
I love that you talk. Hello, caller. What's your name?
It's Mike Riley.
Hi, Mike.
Riley.
How are you?
How you doing? Mike,
very good. I just wanted to say that along with the Yaya Girl Backpack Kids, this Kids for Shoes program is one of the purest forms of charity that exists and makes a major impact every day in the lives of children in our community. Oh. There's nothing like showing up the first day of school and having a new pair of shoes. I mean, even as adults, if you walk into one of the community functions and you've got a tuxedo on and an old pair of brown shoes, you're in trouble.
But yes.
It just makes such a difference. And Chrissy and her Kiwanis Club worked so hard for this, and the community supports it. But it truly changes lives. It truly does.
You know, God bless you, Mike, for calling. I really appreciate that, and thank you for listening. And everything you say is so true. And we're going to find out more how, Christy, that this is a labor of love.
Yes, it is. It sure is. And God bless Christy for what she does in her club. And because, like I say, I see these kids every day, and it truly changes lives.
Well, I thank you. Christy, you want to say
Riley.
Something?
Thank you, Riley. You are definitely a gem to Charlotte County, you and Julie. And thanks a lot for the call. It means a lot to me.
All right. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Christy, well, tell us how you find out who needs shoes.
That's a great question, Dr. Katzen. When the families begin the academic school year, they fill out a multitude of forms, one of which is the free and reduced lunch form that the students complete, or their families actually complete. From that, that's a great indication of the families which will need assistance during the academic year. So that's one of our first indicators. Although if the family has older siblings presently in the school, then the school personnel would already know the families and know the financial means. But the free and reduced is probably one of our first targets of identifying the families.
So this goes through the school, right? You said the
Absolutely.
Principal's office? Or
Absolutely. When the shoes are collected, we have a 5-week drive each year. This year the drive ends on July 27th, which is a Sunday. We then pick the shoes up the following week, sort them, pack them, and bring them to the schools. Kiwanis does not handle any distribution ourselves. That's very important for your listeners to know, because we would have no idea. We would not know if someone called us on the phone and told us that they needed 4 girl 2s and 1 boy 7. We wouldn't know the families, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't have that in private information from the families. So the schools handle all distribution. It's handled through the front office in most cases. There's a school nurse or social worker, guidance counselor. On a rare occasion, it's the assistant principal or physical education teacher. So if a family is in need of shoes for the beginning of the school year and they're not sure who to ask, my best contact information would be just the front office themselves. And then the front office individual will be able to tell them who the particular person is at the school site. All shoes, as Riley indicated, are there before the start of the school year. At least 2 weeks early, the schools receive all new shoes packaged and ready for delivery.
And they're packaged by size?
They are. Waste Management is kind enough to serve as one of our sponsors. They give us the 4x4 cardboard cubes that you might see out at events.
Yeah.
And we use them as our packing devices. We pack them by size, by gender. We maybe, depending on the number of shoes, may be able to place 2 sizes per box. If the shoes are large, if we're talking about men's 11s and 12s, and we should tell your listeners about how large we actually give away, you're not going to get near as many shoes if you're talking about a toddler 1 or a toddler 2. So it depends. We might be able to put 50 shoes in a box, and in other cases it might be 25, depending on the size of the shoe.
But you said you're also collecting for toddlers now, right?
We are. Since we service all schools in the Charlotte County Public School System, that means we serve pre-K through high school. About 75% of our collection will go to the elementary schools. The remaining percent is split between middle and high. We take as small as a toddler 4, which is something you might see on a little model, and we take as large as a men's 15 and a women's 12.
Oh, my goodness. So it's all the schools from pre-K.
All the way through high school.
All the way to high school, the kids.
Now, predominantly, the high schools will not receive as many because many of those students will be working as they move along. So we're really talking about the freshman, sophomore population. And in that case, they're the ones that's receiving the women's 10, 11s, 12s, and then the men's 10 through 15. They'll receive maybe 50 to 75 pair, depending on the high school itself, where the middle schools will receive 150 to 250 pairs. And then the elementary is somewhere between 250 and 400, depending on the particular school.
That is wonderful. If anybody has any questions, you can give us a call. We're live, 206-1580, and talk to our wonderful guest, Christy Smith, who, you know, she has a little halo on top of her head.
I don't know.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you.
Christy, I actually have a question for you. I know every community has its, you know, story. When you started this out, was there something that you saw, or was there one child or a group of children that you saw that really inspired you? What was it that made you really passionate about this wonderful cause?
I was going to say, I'm sorry.
Not at all. I think that's 30 years. Don't start.
We're a bunch of girls here. No, and two guys too. Okay, go ahead. No, I think that's a great question because I was going to, go ahead.
To give you a little background, I grew up in Southern Ohio to talk about where the passion came from. And my parents and their parents believe completely in community support. So if your neighbor needed something, you just were there and you did what was needed. You never asked for anything back. If you got a thank you, that was wonderful. But you were there to serve. And so I wanted to be a teacher when I was 4 years old.
Ooh.
Apparently, I told my parents that right away, and they brought me one of those great big chalkboards that spinned on the side. I brought in all the neighbor kids. And as soon as I knew enough to make a worksheet, I'm a math teacher by trade, I started making worksheets for the community. I didn't care if it was spring, summer, fall. It didn't matter. My brother would bring them in for me. I had an easy bake oven. So as soon as they finished their worksheet, I'd make them something. They'd have the snack. And it's just is a labor of love. So as I officially became a teacher at 22 years old, I started to look for ways to improve my community. I started with many little activities. I was a pep club advisor. I coached some sports, all different little things that I thought was making a difference. When I came to Charlotte County, there was a project from my hometown in Southern Ohio called Lace Up for Kids. And it was shoes. They had a coat and a shoe program. And it was shoes, but the shoes were not sneakers in particular. It was just mainly a focus of getting back to school's dress shoe sandals. That there was no particular type. Well, one day while walking over the Peace River Bridge, I was presently teaching at Edison State College. I was with my parents. And I said, you know, there's a niche out there we're not feeling. We're not completing something that this community needs. I said, let's start talking. So as we were traveling across the bridge, we talked about some different things that we have been involved in, and up comes shoes. And I knew it. I see it every day. Not only shoes, the community could do a clothing drive. You could do a toiletries drive. There's a lot of things. But what we kept coming back to in shoes, Zane, is if a child is sitting there and their toes are curled, all they're thinking about is getting those shoes off.
Yes.
Who cares what Chrissy Smith is saying about the quadratic formula. Who cares what someone's quoting from Shakespeare? Who cares about a science experiment we're going to do? If the child is not comfortable in what they have on, forget any kind of learning taking place. And so I thought, all right, here we go. We could fill this niche by starting a Shoes for Kids project in Charlotte County. So that's how it blossomed 10 years ago. And our first year, we collected 550 pairs, and last year, we gave away close to 6,000.
Wow.
So isn't that incredible? And I know your parents, they're sweethearts.
I don't know.
And I
guess
know.
The good Lord just said, you know, Dan and Betty, you're going to have to give this girl a lot of guidance.
Well, I can tell you firsthand, because I was raised in Southern Ohio myself, Steubenville, yes. Mingo Junction.
Yes, and yes. We have a caller.
And the people there are wonderful.
Hello, caller.
Hello, Dr. Triana. I want you to know that Chrissy Smith is the real deal. She Aww. Is wonderful. She is amazing.
Oh, thank you. What's your name, sweetheart?
And when she knows who we are, she will know, Ellie and John. And we do know her mom and her dad, but Chrissy from day one when she came to Charlotte County, and yes, she was a teacher, and everything that she said, and she does everything from the heart.
Oh, that is so, and I agree with you. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thanks, okay. Ellie.
Thank you.
That's really great. You know, Chrissy, I tell you, you've got a following here. This is so beautiful. And I love what Mike said, that it's pure charity. Because when you give for these kids, you know, this is a family effort. Tell me how it's your family effort.
It is our family effort. And let's go back to your first point as far as 100% donation. Every time someone makes a monetary donation to these children in this project, it goes to buying a new pair of sneakers. It's not for gas in a car. It's not for time that people put in. It's purely 100% towards the purchase of a new pair of sneakers for a child. And for the community efforts, we have the Kiwanis Club, which is our major sponsor, and we have all the volunteers in our community, which probably total close to 200 different people are helping in some way to collect these sneakers. But the nucleus of this project from where it started is my mom and dad, Dan and Betty Smith, and my husband, Ron. And each of us work each day on the project to hopefully make a difference with the families locally.
Don't you even store, you said, in your homestead?
In your homestead.
When Ron and I built a new home 5 years ago, five and a half, approaching 6 years ago, we built an in-law suite behind the garage. It's a small apartment, 900 square feet or so, which it's a great living quarters. If someone comes down and says it's like it's a full function room. However, starting in May, it becomes the shoe room. And until the 1st of August, we store shoes. So right now, by size, by gender, we have little tapes on the wall, and it says girls toddler 4, boys toddler 4, girls toddler 5, boys toddler 5. And it stretches all the way around the room. And if someone would come over, they'd get definitely a big whiff of rubber, because there's approximately 2,000 pairs stored in there right now.
That's wonderful. And I know, because I know your parents talk about it and they're so devoted. And I mean, this is just so wonderful that you came together, you brought, and then you involved the Kiwanis to do this too, right?
They were wonderful. We began the project 10 years ago, as mentioned. And in the second year, Kiwanis became highly involved. And then in the third year, they took over as the major sponsor. That's 40 men and women and all the individuals that they know, including their family, going out in the community and talking about what a difference it makes to bring a new pair of tennis shoes to a child in Charlotte County. So they have been phenomenal.
That is so good. You know, Dr. Katzen's a radiologist and also internal medicine. Dr. Katzen, you see people's feet on x-rays. What happens even little kids when they don't wear good shoes?
Well, they can't grow well, for one thing. And later in their life, you can see changes in their feet. One of the worst things that we see is women who insist on wearing very high heels to work. You know, if you wear them for an hour or two, that's one thing. But if you wear these high heels all day long, it really does change the whole complexion of the forefoot.
But especially when the children are growing, not only is it important, again, for the self-esteem, but for your health. You know, you step on something, you don't have a good pair of shoes, you get an infection.
Right. Now, what happens, you know, kids are growing pretty quickly during certain life cycles. during elementary school and high school, and they may say start out with a pair of shoes that fits perfectly in August, but by January or February, those shoes no longer are suitable for that child. How do you handle that, or do you handle that?
We do. That's a great question, Dr. Katzen. When we talk about the 4,800 pair in August, that's to begin the school year for all the students in Charlotte County. Not every pair of sneakers will be given at that time. That's probably obvious to your listeners. A large percentage. We'll have some schools that give a half of their shoes away the first week and two of the school year, because that's how many students will need them. But as the school year progresses, the schools continue to give shoes to the students that qualify to fit them appropriately. And if they run out of shoes, they know all they have to do is call me, and within 48 hours, we will have the shoes that they've requested. So we make the large deliveries in August, but however, we deliver 6 additional months during the year. Usually it's October, November, December, January, February, and then again in either April or May to complete our school year and to help the students get through summer. Because when the school year ends, it doesn't mean the foot stops growing and that shoe might be worn out.
Now, do you market your program in the local shoe stores?
A vast majority of the retailers are well aware of us. I've been fortunate to meet many wonderful managers in our area. Matter of fact, they see me coming along with my dad's with me most of the time when I'm shopping. They're like, well, here comes Christy. Let's help her. We can get the cart out and help her stack the shoes. So I'd say yes. I won't say 100% because that would probably be facetious. However, I will say a large majority of the retailers know who we are. We try to spread the message as best we can. It was just so gracious of Dr. Triana and yourself to allow me to come on this morning to share with listeners that maybe didn't know about the project. Clear Channel has been wonderful. I've been on a few stations.
That's
and they're
great.
Very generous and allow us to have time. The local newspapers have been wonderful. The Sun's run multiple articles listing our collection sites as well.
And that's the thing. Why don't you give us some of that information, mm-hmm. too, where they can drop off? There's a website, mm-hmm. too?
That's right. Let's talk about the website first, and then we'll proceed into some of the larger collection sites that might be recognizable to your listeners. Our website is www.shoesforkidsproject.org. The word four is spelled out, not the number. So again, that's shoesforkidsproject.org. On that website, we'll list all our collection sites by region. The Englewood will have all the collection sites in that area. We'll also include one in Northport, Port Charlotte, and Punta Gorda. Once you click on the link, there'll be a drop-down menu of all sites. We have a total of 55. That's on the
55
left.
55 sites in Charlotte County?
In Charlotte County.
That's where you put the
12.
Boxes?
That's where we put the boxes, and that's where we will collect about 1,500 pairs of shoes will come through the collection.
That is incredible. That's wonderful.
Isn't that amazing? Starting from 12, 10 years ago, to have 50, to have 55 now. That's something.
Wow.
And then also on that page, we'll have the mailing address should someone want to send a check, telephone number will be on there as well, and a way to pay by PayPal if that would be someone's interest as well. There's also a link to take us to our Kiwanis webpage that lists all the stories, well, not all, but many of the stories that I've been involved with is also on that page if a listener would want to read a little bit more about the project and some of the history behind it. But I know some of your listeners, it's not about a computer. It's something that they don't do on an everyday basis, or maybe not at all. So let's list a telephone number for
That's
them to
great.
Call, and then they can just call me, and I can tell them a little bit more about the project if they want. The telephone number is 941-769-0864. Again, that's 769-0864. That's my personal cell number, and they can call me, and I'll return the call quickly. And so I think that's pretty amazing that we now have 55 organizations that are assisting us in what I believe is a very basic need in Charlotte County, a new pair of sneakers.
Now, mind you, Christy, why don't we take our little break, and then we're going to ask Christy some more questions. Okay, Christy?
Thank you. Yes, that's super.
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is trianapreventioncenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A Prevention Center, all one word, .com. If you'd like to catch up on previous shows, there's a wide archive going back to the beginning of this show covering a wide variety of topics. So you can check out all the archives going back to the very beginning. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently and will ask the doctor to give her number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, our numbers here are 941-206-1580 and toll free at 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Thank you, Zane. And yes, our office number is 941-625-1990. As you know, the show is called The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. And we've had all kinds of interesting guests. And I just think it's so wonderful that today we have a guest. Again, I feel that our children are so important. If there's anything we could do to help them in these, and these are hard times for many, many people.
They are.
Very hard times. But talk to us again about your their different collection sites, Christy.
That's right. We have 55 different collection sites throughout the county. If someone has a computer and you're comfortable with going on, you can go to our website, shoesforkidsproject.org, spelled out, no abbreviations, no numbers. And you can look at the different locations and find one close to you. We're going to start, though, in the Englewood area and move our way to Punta Gorda to list just a couple sites for listeners that are not able to go on the computer and find that out. In the Englewood area, if interested in donating, Caldwell Banker Sunstar Realty, which is on the corner of Beach Road and 776, I believe that turns into Indiana. Englewood United Methodist Church and St. Francis of Assisi are three of the larger donations or collection sites in Englewood. Mm-hmm. As we move into the Port Charlotte area, we also have Bell's Department Store in the mall, all Charlotte State Bank locations, all Caldwell Banker locations once again. As we're coming down 41, we also have Palm Toyota as we cross over the bridge and Palm Chevrolet. Again, we have Charlotte State Bank in that area. We have Burnt Store Presbyterian Church out off Burnt Store Road. There's just a multiple of sites. And if someone would want to call, I can give more details and I can find one probably within at least 5 to 10 miles of where they either reside or go to work. So I'll give that number one more time. It's 769-0864. We would love your assistance. If you enjoy buying tennis shoes, I encourage you to do that. You do not have to give a monetary donation. And our sizes, once again, are a 4 toddler, through a 15 adult and a 15 adult for a men's and 12 adult for women's. And we're looking for just sneakers because the children need to be able to wear them for gym class. They need to be a sturdy multi-purpose shoe, not a dress shoe or a sandal.
So, Christy, what if someone right now wants to send you a check and they're really enthusiastic and
Yay!
They're saying, you know what? This is so beautiful. I want to give me an address right now where I can send you a check.
Absolutely. I'm always prepared for that. The check would be made out to Sunrise Kiwanis. Kiwanis is spelled K-I-W-A-N-I-S. The mailing address is 1489 Market Circle. Market, M-A-R-K-E-T, Circle, Unit 308, Port Charlotte, Florida, 33953. And there's no donation too small. About $10 will buy us a new pair of sneakers for an elementary child, ranging up to about $15 for a middle school or high school child, because of the sales that we try to target. But there's no donation too small. We would appreciate any gift that the individual community would like to share with us.
So, ladies and gentlemen, think about this. $10. You know, that's not, every penny counts on earth. I know that. We all work for a living. But $10 could help a little kid, a child.
And it's a nice shoe. It's
yes.
not possibly a Reebok or a Nike. Might not be a name brand shoe that you see advertised on a commercial on TV. It's a nice, sturdy, solid shoe that doesn't have holes in it. There's no duct tape around it. There's no staples through the sole, which amazes me. When the school personnel have told me that a child comes in with a shoe stapled, I'm like, really? How do you get the staple through the sole of the shoe? But nonetheless, and the kid's toes aren't curled. And I've actually tried that. Try to curl my toes and stuff them in my shoe and try to walk. That's just excruciating.
Oh, yeah.
And we have heard more than one story where a child has either walked on the heels or the side of their foot as they're traveling down the hallway because they're not able to walk flat-footed. And even more so, we were told of a student at Myakka River Elementary, which some of your listeners are going to know where that is, off 776. A family moved into town, very little possessions that they had with them. They just had to make a fresh start. They were identified as needing new shoes, obviously, for the entire family. This young man, he was a second grader, was sent to the office to bring the shoes. And that's something else we should tell the listener. How do the kids get them at the schools? It's not an embarrassment. We'll get to that in just a minute.
Yeah.
But the child was identified. He goes into the school office. It was the guidance counselor at that time with a new pair of shoes. The student was taken to the shoe closet, which almost all schools have a shoe closet now. And he was able to see all the shoes in his size. That's something else that listeners may not know. So if that school has 20 pairs of boys three, that child gets to see all 20 pairs. And he or she get to choose the pair of shoes that they want. Back to this young man. He gets the pair of shoes. He identifies which one he wants. The counselor says, okay, take off your shoes. And the counselor takes the shoes out of the box for this young boy to try on. The boy has his toes curled. Counselor says, we're going to have to straighten your foot out. We can't try your shoes on. He says, no, you don't understand. Counselor says, what do you mean I don't understand? He said, my shoes won't fit. The counselor looks at him.
Oh, my goodness.
He says, do you mean that you're telling me if you straighten your foot out, your foot won't fit into the shoe? He said, yes. And they never have. Second grade. How old is someone in second grade? 8 years old? And
bless
he didn't know
heart.
That his toes were supposed to be flat. Well, he probably knew, but he hadn't been able to wear his shoe with his foot flat.
It's like China where they used to bind the ladies' shoes.
Yeah.
Ladies' feet.
Unbelievable.
Imagine what that does to his back and the way he's growing.
Everything. I mean, his foot's not going to form properly. You know, other body parts, as you say, you're not going to grow. So you think you're going to teach that young man anything at school?
And you know, if your feet hurt, you can't do anything.
You're not going to do anything.
No.
You can't think straight.
And Zane had asked about the project. I mean, the shoes are one simple, simple way of settling the body.
Well, what about the epidemic of childhood obesity and type 2 diabetes? We've brought this up. If you can't run or exercise in school or learn to do or play and you don't have the right shoes, of course you're going to gain weight. Isn't
exactly.
that? It sounds
reasonable.
Logical?
Absolutely. You don't want to. Why would you want to? Why would you want to run?
If your feet hurt.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, all the wonderful things, all the sports and all the things that are wonderful for most kids become a negative thing for kids that have feet that hurt.
The door's closed even, Zane. I mean, they can't even venture in there. You know, if mom or dad or a teacher or someone says, well, do you want to, well, probably not mom or dad, but if the teacher or a guy comes up, why don't you join soccer? Why don't you play flag football? And the kid's thinking, no way. I want to get home and take these shoes off.
Do you ever get a thank you note from the parents?
Not necessarily, although I did have one really sweet comment on Facebook. I try to stay out of the limelight, which I know is hard to imagine with me on the air and you hear me on the radio and in the newspaper. But when the students receive these shoes, I really don't want to be anywhere around there because it's private. It's personal.
I see.
And I shouldn't be there. I shouldn't be there snapping a picture. That's not what it's about.
No, I don't mean a picture. I mean a thank you note.
I know. I see it when I see the kids smile. I've been fortunate to deliver shoes later in the school year when there's been a child or a family close by that were waiting on the shoes. And it hasn't happened a lot, but it's been a few times. And one time I was taking a stack of shoes, and this has been quite a few years ago now, into one of the elementary schools in the morning. And this young man was leaning over the banister and he says, "Hey, shoe lady," which I think is the great, if anybody's going to nickname me anything, shoe lady's like awesome.
Not math lady.
No, I like the shoes, although math is important. And he says, "Do you have a size 7? I thought, wow. Not only is it like 7:15 in the morning, this kid's pretty good. He knows what I have in my stack. He must be a magician. And I said, "Well, young man, yes, I do." I said, "I do have a size 7. He said, "I've been waiting for you."
Oh.
I was like, wow.
That is really neat.
He says, "Let me hold the door." So opens the door and I take the shoes in. I say, "Have a great day." So that's 1,000 thank yous to me.
You know, Christy, there's levels of charity. The purest form of charity is giving and you're anonymous and the person is receiving and you don't expect anything back.
No.
So it is the purest form of charity.
I'm lucky.
Is what you're doing. Because everybody who's listening right now, Christy works full time. You're a professor, right?
I am. I've taught now for 28 years. This will be my 15th year at Edison, which has recently changed its name to Florida Southwestern State College, but it'll be my 15th year with that institution. And then I've taught 15 years in the K-12 system. Majority of the time is middle school, but I've also taught a little bit in elementary, 9 years in middle school, and the remaining part in high schools or in the academy.
And you're still a kid.
I'm a kid. I think I'm losing the kid land, but I love it.
Tell us, what do you teach?
I teach mathematics. My background is in mathematics and computer science. I've only taught computer science 1 year. The remaining years have all been mathematics. At the college, I teach a multitude of classes in the field of mathematics, college algebra, pre-calculus, calculus sequence, calculus 1 and 2. On occasion, I'll teach trigonometry and some of the other branches of mathematics.
Well, that's wonderful.
I enjoy it very much.
I wish you were at my high school because, honestly, math scared the living heck out of me. I would start sweating. I mean, really, math anxiety.
And that's still there, Zane. And that's, you know, our listeners probably can relate to that story. And I think the teacher makes a big difference.
It bothered me that there's only one right answer, that if you make one mistake anywhere in your work, you're going to throw off the whole thing. That's what bothered me about it, I think.
And I think what I try to tell my students, too, is as those that are in the field of engineering and you're measuring for tolerance and you think, well, what's a decimal point? Well, a decimal point's a whole big deal. And so if we can practice being careful and taking our time, and you're right, and it does, and I completely understand it, even though I love mathematics to death, it does become frustrating when one small detail can really change a problem. But when I relate to them, think about an engineer and an architecture and how important it is just to drive a car over a bridge. You want your loved ones safe, don't you?
That's true.
That's very true. And you want their health safe. So in the medical field, how important is it to know the metrics? How important is it to know how much a dosage to give and how long that dosage is in the bloodstream?
We've had a lot of dosing mistakes for a decimal point. The difference between 1 and 10, that's 10 times. either on the positive side or on the negative side.
I think the other important thing about mathematics, and one thing that I have, you know, there's such a so many people who are diabetics, and I tell them how many carbs they should eat a day, and I compare it to you're given, like you have a checkbook. Right. This is how much money you can spend each day. Mm-hmm. If you could only spend $100 a day or $150 a day, you can spend no more, maybe less. Mm-hmm. That's how many grams of carbohydrates you should be able to eat a day. Mm-hmm. So I compare it to that. And it kind of refocuses right. with patients, because I have to teach them what is a carbohydrate if they're diabetics, and also know what that number is. Exactly. So I said it's simple. It's a number, which numbers are important. We all live with numbers.
And also how to find the number on the food package that they're buying. A lot of people just don't read the back of the food. Every food package exactly. now, it has the nutritional content right there.
Exactly. Good point.
So, Christy, you said, though, that this year you're only halfway through the drive. Tell us about that.
We're presently halfway through the drive. The drive ends on July 27th, which is a Sunday. However, we do not have half of the goal yet. We're about 2,000 pairs, approximately, and our goal was 4,800. So if those out there that are listening, if you have not yet made a donation or purchased a pair of shoes and you have the means to, I encourage you very much to think about it. Think about changing the life of a child and how just a simple donation or a pair of sneakers can start a child off on the right foot, no pun intended, for the new academic year. So when the bell tolls in August, I think they're chimes now, but when the bell tolls in August for the start of a new school year, and that child doesn't know your name, they don't know what you look like, they don't know where you live or your telephone number or anything else, but they know that there's someone in their hometown that believes enough in their future that they've invested in it with a new pair of shoes.
That's wonderful.
That is so wonderful, and you're so eloquent to say this, and it's such a charity to give to these little kids. Well, I mean, anybody who's young, that you could help them in that way.
It makes a big difference. And if you don't mind, may I share another story?
I would love it. I love these
I'm
stories.
I'm pretty sure Zane pretty soon is going to say, okay.
No.
I mean,
And I'm going to say the number again, 206-1580. If you want to say anything to Christy or ask us any questions here, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. I'm here with Christy Smith and Dr. Katzen. And she's from the Sunrise Kiwanis. And really, this is so important, so important. It can affect the children's health from the very beginning to the rest of their lives.
It can. And the child can be 5 years old or 15 years old and everywhere in between they need the shoes. And even at Baker, they're younger than five. We were told, and where I receive these stories is each fall, usually in the month of September or early October, we have an awards breakfast for the top collection sites and some of the top donors in the area. And what we will do is we will invite some community members along with that, some of the individuals that helped us from the beginning with the shoe drive. And when the school personnel come in, they share the stories. How do these shoes impact Peace River Elementary? How do they impact Murdoch Middle? How do they impact the academy?
I went to Peace River Elementary.
And at Peace River Elementary.
I grew up here my whole life, so.
At Peace River Elementary School, they usually receive around 300 to 350 pairs for August. And they'll receive at least another three deliveries through the year because the need's high at Peace River Elementary School.
And little kids grow.
And if you have one pair of shoes that you're lacing on when you get up first thing in the morning and you wear all day long, day after day after day, those shoes aren't going to last 6 months.
How long do they last usually?
I would say 3 to 4 months. If you're lucky, if the kid takes care of them and doesn't use them as a stop for the bicycle on the way to or from school. But I think when you only have one pair, you are a little bit more careful. But we were told of a kindergartner, 5 years old, who was given a new pair of shoes at the school. He was identified and he was given a new pair of shoes. His best friend was not identified yet. They were new to the system, and all the paperwork had not been processed yet. So this is early on, first week or two of the drive, or of the beginning of the school year. And the little boy brings his buddy in tow behind him to the nurse's office. And he said, Mrs. in the nurse's name, this is so-and-so. And unfortunately, I don't remember the young man's name. He's my best friend. She said, oh, that's nice. But he can't play with me. And she said, why can't he play? So he pulls the kids like beside him, pulls him around to the front. And his shoe is all duct taped.
Oh.
He says, it's not staying on. The rocks are getting inside. So he doesn't want to play with me on the playground. Can you fix it? So my best friend and I can ride the slide.
It's okay.
And play together and get on the playground. So that's what these shoes do.
Isn't that
beautiful? In a child's world, they put two best friends together.
I still remember my first pair of sneakers that I got, and they were so comfortable. I must have been 5 years old, needed them for gym class, and my dad got me this really comfortable pair of shoes. I guess we picked them out, and I actually believed that I could run faster because of those shoes, that they had superpowers, you know, and they really do have superpowers because they enable kids to do things that they can't do without them, you know, comfortably.
For our radio audience, you can really feel the passion that Christy has and the emotion as she tells these stories. I'm sure everyone feels it in their heart.
That's true.
Thank you.
And we could hear it in Christy's voice because this has been the 10th year.
The 10th year. And so you're listening.
The 10th. That's incredible.
It is incredible. 10. It's incredible that Charlotte County, as generous as they are, there's a lot of need for different things in Charlotte County. But year after year after year, for 10 years now, they have been helping children with shoes. And it does. It's a life changer. It really is.
I just so wonderful.
Do you have collection boxes at the shoe stores? I was just thinking, you ladies are always out there shopping for shoes.
That's a good question. The one that we have right now is Bell's Department Store, and that's the only one right now we have in Charlotte County in a store which has a shoe department. For some organizations, they must go through corporate headquarters, and sometimes the emotion gets lost in the paperwork.
Right.
And we're not able to successfully place a box there, but some will take flyers for us. And they'll post them in their shoe area, which is very helpful. And so your listeners know, I've given some stories about elementary children. It's not just elementary that are receiving these shoes. There are middle school and high school. For my last story I'd like to share, we were told of a young man. He was in the 8th grade at Murdoch Middle School. He was sent to the office to receive shoes. Real quickly, so your listeners know, the students are sent there a lot of times on an unrelated errand, Band-Aids, tape, something like that. It's not, Dr. Triana, your shoes look horrible, go to the office. You're not pulled out of a line. You're not made fun of. The teacher and the school office personnel know why that child's there. So there's not an embarrassment, and it is private. So the young man was there. He was sent there for Band-Aids, so he thought. He asked the school nurse for the Band-Aids, and why there? She said, well, how about looking in my shoe closet? I bet there'll be something there that might really make you put a smile on your face. And the boy says, gosh, that's nice. So he takes off his shoes with a duct tape. They fit him with a new pair of shoes. He goes through the day, comes back, the end of the day, buses are coming in, takes off his new shoes. He said, thanks for letting me borrow these today. So what it brought to my mind was a bowling alley when I was a kid.
Yep.
You borrowed the shoes, which I'm sure you still do, or you can. I know some bowlers, they would think, oh my gosh, obviously she doesn't bowl if she borrows shoes. But that's what he thought. He wow. borrowed them for the day. He says, thanks, I had a great day. And the nurse says, no, they're yours. They're yours. So listeners and those I know that are listening, there's some that have helped us with buying a new pair of shoes. For others, give it a thought. Because let me tell you, you really are making a difference with these children in a small way.
And I want you to stress again that this is local, Charlotte County. Right. You're giving to Charlotte County. This is a national, not national. The charity stays here at home.
100% of the shoes not only stay in the state of Florida, they stay in Charlotte County Public School K-12 system.
Before our time runs out, I want you to please give us again the website and where you can mail a check.
Thank you, Dr. Triana. Our website is the name of the project, shoesforkidsproject.org, www.shoesforkidsproject.org. The mailing address, once again, the check would be made out to Sunrise Kiwanis. Kiwanis is K-I-W-A-N-I-S. The mailing address is 1489 Market Circle. Again, that's 1489 Market Circle, Unit 308, Port Charlotte, Florida, 33953.
So remember, charity does begin at home in our home county of Charlotte County. And this is the purest form of charity, the purest form of giving. You know, whatever you give, it's going to really make it for a child.
Absolutely.
And that is so important. You know, our time is about to run out pretty quick here. We want to thank Christy Smith, Professor Christy Smith.
Thank you. I'm just a teacher. Thank you.
Well, we're all teachers with each other, too. But I just think it's wonderful that you're a professor and you take this. This is your, how would I say, your charity, but it takes up so much time, your life, your work.
It's a blessing. It's a gift that I've been given, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
And we want to thank our callers, too, who called in. And we want to tell everybody, and thank you, Dr. Katzen, that we have some future guests, too, that one of the guests is Dr. Kathy Maupin. She'll be on our show on the 25th, and she's the co-author of the book, The Secret Female Hormone, How Testosterone Replacement Can Change Your Life. And also we have, for all of you out there who are fans, as I am, of the History Channel show, Pawn Stars, P-A-W-N, Stars. We, my husband and I are very happy. We met the historian, Mark Patton, of the Clark County Museum, and he in the future is going to be one of our guests. And also, we've had Dr. Amy Donine, who is the co-author of Beat the Heart Attack Gene. So I want everyone to stay listening, because this, we have some great, wonderful guests, as we've had today with Christy, who's been outstanding. I'll tell you how many tears have come to our eyes, but they're tears of wonderful emotion. Our callers, thank you so much, Christy, for all your work.
Well, Dr. Triana, Dr. Katzen, and Zane, all three of you, thank you for allowing me to be here this hour.
It's our pleasure and our honor. Thank you so much. So everyone, stay tuned. Listen to our show every Friday, The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. And don't go down that slippery slope. Stay healthy.
WCCF, Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte, coming to you.